Now look here in Acts chapter 13 with me again. And I want you to look down in verse 43. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, service was over in the synagogue. Paul had preached the gospel to them, preached the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. And the congregation was broken up, many people went their way, and many of the Jews and religious proselytes, those who had converted to the Jewish religion, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, when you read that, persuaded them, speaking to these Jews and religious proselytes, talking to them, preaching to them, instructing them in the ways of salvation, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the face of that statement, that's astounding if you think about it, if you give it much thought. Continue? Have to persuade somebody to continue in the grace of God? To continue in salvation of the Lord and never lean on yourself, never look to yourself, to persuade those who've been saved by the grace of God, taught the grace of God, to have to continue in the grace of God, to have to persuade souls to continue in the blessings, to continue in the love, to continue in the power, to continue in the grace of God. It seems almost foolish to say such a thing, to even consider it, that we'd have to exhort men to continue in the things of true religion. It don't hardly make sense. But here he says it, that we're persuaded to continue in the grace of God. Now you keep Acts 13, and I want you to look over here in 1 Corinthians 15 with me just a moment. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, it's to continue in the grace of God. I know that it's, some folks say, well, this is the only way of salvation. I've never departed from it. Been many, many departed from it. Many have. Been taught grace. Set under good grace, solid grace ministries. And don't continue for some reason or another. But look what he said here in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. See, I'm declaring it. I've already been preaching it to you. It's not the first time. Which also you received. You believed it. You took it to be yours. And you stand in this gospel. The gospel by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. And that keep in memory means hold fast.
Yes, sir.
Hold fast what I have preached unto you. The speech that I've made to you. But what gospel I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now what He's saying there, that this gospel that I believe, preached to you, this gospel that you believe, you got to keep that in your memory. You got to hold that fast. You got to hold that fast. What I preached to you, hold fast to it. There's lots of people out there that wants to deceive you, that wants to tell you there's something that needs to be done, that exhort you to lots of things. But Paul said, I exhort you to do one thing. Whether you're a proselyte, whether you're a Jew, whether you go to the synagogue, whether you go to the Baptist church, wherever you go, I exhort you to continue in the grace of God. But whenever you consider what man is, it makes all the sense in the world to have to persuade him to continue in the grace of God. You consider man. Just consider man. What man is. What is man? What is he? What's his nature like? He got a nature that's against God. He got a nature that's against the truth. He's got a nature that's full of sin. He's got a nature that is that can turn, that can be spiritual one moment and be just beastly the next. He can thank the highest thoughts of God for a few minutes, and next thing you know, his mind can get in the lowest depths of depravity, just like that. Ain't that right? Huh? And oh, when you consider how depraved he is. You know, there's not a sin that's been committed on this earth that's not in every human being's heart. The seed of it's there. You say, there's things I wouldn't do. I'm sure you're right. But the seed of that, the seed of that sin is in your heart. And if you, as God let you alone, let that seed bring forth fruit, there ain't nothing no human being would not do. Nothing. Sins that things that people do that just absolutely shocks you that they do them. That sin is in the seed of your heart. That seed's there. All God's got to do is just let it grow. That's all he's got to do. And oh, when you think about his selfishness, think about his selfishness. The only person he's interested in is himself. Interested in where he goes, what he does, what he's going to get, what he's going to have, and what people think of him. Never interested in what anybody else is going through, what anybody else feels, what anybody else thinks, what anybody else days like, only himself. When you think about how selfish he is. When you think about his pride. Oh my soul, the pride of the human being. Oh, the pride that's in us here today. The pride that's in, and the ungratefulness. God just hands us blessing after blessing, day after day after day, fills our cup till it runs over. And the first time some little something goes wrong, we start complaining and get so ungrateful. Never stop to say, Lord, I thank you. Not even, you know, if you have if things are not right, give thanks for that, because God's teaching you something through that. God's teaching you something through that. Huh? But it's a fact, and it's a sad fact, but it's a true fact. We have to be, because of who we are, we have to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because every single one of us are Armenian by nature. Every one of us are free willers by nature. We are born with a natural religion. We are born with natural conceptions of God. And James and I was talking about it yesterday. All you've got to do is to find out what natural religion's like and what they're preaching in the average free will church, the average church period, no matter what name's over the door. All you've got to do is stop anybody anywhere. Just go to Chicago, go to Los Angeles, go to New York, where people are not totally irreligious. They don't even think about God. But you ask them, say, now tell me what you think of yourself. And tell me what you think God's like. And if you're this way and you're this way and God's this way, tell me how God saved you. And they'll tell you exactly what's being preached in the churches today. I'm doing the best I can. I'm a good person. I know I don't live perfect. And I know I don't attend church. And I only pray when I get in trouble. Things not going right. And I know that God loves everybody. And that he's going to give us all a chance. He has to give us a chance because he's a just God. And then when he gives us his chance, if we'll take that chance when he gives it to us, gives us our opportunity. And if we'll accept that grace when he gives it to us and accept Jesus into our hearts, we'll be saved. Ain't that it? And that's what we are. By nature, that's what we are. By nature, that's the way we was all of our lives. We'd all heard all of our lives that Jesus is Savior. But we didn't know who He was. We didn't know what we need to be saved from.
That's right.
We didn't know how holy God was. We didn't know the righteousness of God. We didn't know the sinfulness of our own nature. And no matter how much we think of the grace of God in our minds, no matter how much we talk about it, no matter how much we study it, no matter how much the preaching of it we hear, we have to continue to do so or it'll slip away. It'll get away from us and we'll act just as at Armenianism and free willism will just run out of us. That's true. Don't look at me like I've just slapped you. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
You know I'm telling you the truth. Huh? If you know, and all I got to do is tell, just I can start naming people right now. That one day they were strong in the grace of God. Preachers that were strong in the grace of God. And stand up and preach it just as hard and fine as anybody. Now they're out in the world working. Left the grace of God altogether. They forgot the gospel. They're out there in the world. Others had heard the gospel and said, hey, Gary told me about one the other day that when he started preaching at a Presbyterian church, he said, it'll take me 10 years to bring these folks to believe the gospel. It won't take that long to take it. All you got to do is tell it. The ones that will believe it. The ones that won't, won't. Spurgeon's Tabernacle. Somebody so strong on the grace of God. It wasn't in less than a generation. It was Arminian. Jonathan Edwards, considered the greatest theologian ever lived in America. I looked over how many books has been written about him and by him just yesterday. Oh, he's a genius. In the 1700s in Massachusetts, or New Jersey, excuse me, in New Jersey, they excluded him. He was the pastor of a church for over 20-something years, and they excluded him and fired him and put him out of his pulpit because he demanded a regeneration church membership. He says a man must be regenerated before he can be in the church. He was the man, beloved, who stood and wrote book after book about the grace of God and the fruits of the Spirit of God. And they said, we'll not have you to preach us. And him and his wife moved out into a shack and like a fool to death. You tell me that we don't have to have the grace of God preached to us continually. And oh my, and all I got to do is just a church or two I know of right now that men were strong in the grace of God. And now, where a man preached of men had a two natures, and now the preacher don't even believe he's got two natures. You believe he got one. Oh my. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm telling you, that's why I want the grace of God preached to me.
Amen.
I want to study it all I get my hand. I want to read about it all the time. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what God in grace has already done.
Amen.
And oh, see, we're so depraved. We have a will to sin. A will to make ourselves something to God. And that's what free willers do, ain't that's what Armenians does. All you got to do is find out if somebody wants to make themselves something to God, talk to them a little while, and they'll start telling about the things that they're studying or things that they're reading or the things that they're praying over. They want to do something to commend themselves to God. That's our nature. That's our nature. And we want people to know that we've done something. Oh, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Huh? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Oh, my, by nature we're lovers of self. We're lovers of honor and praise. And our hearts always promise us what we can't perform. How many times have we promised ourselves and our hearts promised us the things that we're going to do, the ways we're going to act, the things we're going to say. How many times have we done that in our own hearts? Fail us. And we'll say, oh my soul. My intentions was right. My desire was right. And all the will was even present. But oh, my soul, how to perform that.
That's right.
Huh? Oh, we have to continually be persuaded. Not just to believe grace in our heart, in our heads. And I do that. I understand intellectually that salvation has to be altogether the grace of God. I understand that intellectually. I understand it even scripturally. I see the Bible's full of it. That everything God does is by His grace. Everything we have is by grace. Everything we know, by grace. Everything God taught us, gave it to us. It's a gift. He didn't earn it. And I understand that intellectually in my head. But how to live according to grace.
Yes, sir.
How to act according to the grace of God. How to act and live and speak and walk according to God's grace. According to His, to actually say, what have I got? What do I possess now that I didn't receive? What have I got that God didn't give to me? What do I know that God didn't teach me? What have I ever accomplished that God didn't accomplish through me? You see what I'm saying? And to actually talk like you believe in the grace of God. To actually walk like you believe in the grace of God. Not scared to death that the world's going to come to fall to pieces all around us. But all to know that God is not going to let anything in this world happen that He hasn't purposed before time ever began.
Amen.
Not living in fear. Not complaining. Not complaining over everything. Not boasting in ourselves. Always trying to get somebody else's light to shine, not yours. Letting our speech be seasoned with salt. You know, I thought yesterday, you know, we use Roundup. You know what'll kill grass quicker than anything? Instead of using Roundup, pour salt on it. Kill the graveyard dead. That's right, just kill it dead. And grace is like salt. When it comes, it's got to kill sin. I mean, grace is the only thing that'll kill them rotten, stinking weeds that's in us by nature. Ain't that right? And you got to keep pouring it on there. It'll grow back. Just keeps growing up, growing up. But oh my, not boasting in ourselves. Brag on somebody else. Not pleasing self. And I do know this. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm very concerned over a lot of people right now. If we need grace, we will attend grace preaching.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely and continually. It won't be a hit and miss proposition. Huh? And all beloved, and I also know this. Look over in Romans 5 just a minute. Look in Romans 5 for me. I know this. You know, let's not give the enemies of grace ammunition against us. By what we say, by how we act, by how we complain, by how we talk about how we're scared the economy's going to do this, and how we're scared the world's going to do that, and how evil the world is. We know all those things. We know that. We understand that. But we're not living in the world. We're living by the grace of God. We're living by the power of God. We're living by Christ, living through faith in Christ. We're living to God's glory, not to this world, not to please ourselves. And if we need grace, if we actually need it, it's necessary for us to live. Like the Scriptures teach, then we will make it our point in life to attend to that grace of God wherever it's met, wherever people meet together around it. And here in Romans 5:20, let's don't give the enemies of grace ammunition against us. If they can say anything against us, let it be a lie. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Oh, we see when we look at the law, sin, 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 and more sin. But where sin abounded, sin just busted out all over. Grace busted out even more. Grace had such more power over it. Just like sin reigned unto death, it reigned in us and brought death in us and brought death in our minds and death in our hearts and death in our wills. Even so, when grace comes, it reigns. And it reigns through the righteousness of God, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Oh my, so grace has come and done away with all of our sin. Grace has come and it reigns through the righteous acts of God, through the righteous obedience of Christ, and through the righteousness of Christ being given to us. Oh my, what shall we say then? Since that grace has come and done so much for us and gave us life and reigns through righteousness and did abound so much more over our sin. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that we may get more grace and more grace? God forbid. God forbid. Oh no. How shall we that are dead to sin? Where did we die to it at? On the cross?
Amen.
In Christ? How are we going to live any longer there? Can we do that? Oh my. Oh my. And I'll tell you something else. We're all legalists. Every one of us has got a legal streak in us a mile wide. And you know that. You know that as well as I do. We're all of us are legalists. Every one of us will see somebody do something, say something, act a certain way, and we'll say, I just don't hardly believe they'd do that. How in the world did they do that? I wouldn't have done that. We're all legalists. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. We're all legalists and moralists by nature. We'll say, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't act that way. I wouldn't say that. Did you hear what he said? He says he believes in grace, but he just said that. And when things begin to go wrong, the first thing we start thinking about is we start saying, well, God must be against me. Where did I sin? Where's my sin at? That's what they said to Job. And God tried Job, and he turned the devil loose on him. The first thing his comforter said, Job, what a wicked man you must be. And that's what we think, and we're legalist by nature and so self-righteous and moralist by nature. Whenever something don't go right, first thing we think of is, what in the world sin have I committed? What have I done against God that God's against me right now? And we'll think, well, I'd pray, but I'm not in condition to pray. I need to wait till I get in a better frame of mind. That's legalism. Start legalism. That's works. That's committing yourself to God. If you wait till you get just right to pray, you never pray. Ain't that right? Oh my. And here's what we say. And this is what this is legalism from start to finish. You'll hear preaching like this, something that'll convict you a little bit and condemn you a little bit and make you feel uneasy, and you'll say, well, I need to pray more. I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. I need to go to church more. And you need to do all these things. I need to give more. And you need to do every one of those things. But if you're doing them because you feel guilty, it's legalism.
All right.
If you're not doing them because you want to and you love to and God put it in your heart to do it, if you're doing it because you feel guilty, then, beloved, it's legalism, start and finish. And what you're trying to do is get on God's good side by doing something. And sways your conscience. Faith don't work by I need to. Faith works by love. I'll read the Bible because I love the Bible. I'll pray because I love to commune with my Master. I'll attend the service because I love the gospel and I love the Lord's people. I'm going to give of my substance because I love my Master, and my Master is the one who gave it all to me to begin with. Now, anything not of that is legalism start to finish. Ain't that right? You reckon you're a legalist? Look over in Galatians chapter 5. You reckon you are? You reckon we got enough of that in us? Oh, we do. You reckon we ought to need to be persuaded to continue in the grace of God? Galatians chapter 5. You reckon we ought to be persuaded to continue in it? That's what Paul's telling them here in Galatians chapter 5. He writes to them and says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast in it. Oh, be unmovable in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get in there. That's what the law will do. That's what legalism does. It tangles you up. Because you'll get out from it, you'll say, well, I've eased my conscience, I've done what I needed to do, and I feel like I've satisfied God. So then you'll feel good for a while, and something will happen, and you get tangled up again. You've got to try to do something to get back on God's good side. And that's awful. It's awful to think about it. It's awful to think that we're that way. And behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, if you do anything to make yourself clean, to make yourself acceptable, to make yourself purified in the sight of God, Paul says, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that means it comes under the law, it comes under legalism, it comes under the idea that I need to do something in order to satisfy God, to satisfy my own conscience, that he's a debtor to do it all. And Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by law. And if you say, I need to do something, I've got to do this, I've got to do the other, for it is because you feel guilty about it, and you don't do it out of love, and our love for the Master, you've fallen from grace.
That's what it
says. Yeah. You know, if the preaching makes you feel guilty, you know what you ought to do? Is say, God, forgive me of being such a sorry, low down, wretched sinner to dishonor you the way I act, what I say, what I do. And if you'll give me the grace, by your blessed grace, I'll live to honor you. I'll live to honor you. You work in me. You change me. You do for me what I cannot do for myself and what I seemingly can't willingly do for myself. Does that make any sense to you? All right. And I'll tell you when we're not continuing in the grace of God. Let me tell you when we're not. When we diminish the person, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in any way, take away from the person or work of our Lord in any way, or add anything to His work,
yes,
we're falling from grace. That's why we have to. We're not continuing in the grace of God when we do that. When we diminish anything from His person, He's God, holy, omnipotent, omniscient, and God's glory is revealed in Him. God's glory was manifest in His blessed Son. He came and dwelt among us. He came with the power and the grace and the mercy and the love and the compassion and the righteousness and the wisdom of God Himself and dwelt among us in order to redeem us, in order to honor God Himself. And then He is a man. A man, a whole man. A complete man. He didn't just assume huge human nature. He actually became a man. A man that hurt and bled and suffered and thirsty and weak and weary and tired and had to sleep and had to work, had to do everything that you and I had to do. Except the only difference between us and Him was that He had no sin. He was a sinless man. He was a perfect man, not related to Adam. And then, beloved, His work, all the days of His life was as a public person, not for Himself. His life was a representative life. He came here to represent not Himself, but to represent a whole people that was given to Him before the world ever began.
Yes, sir.
He came, beloved, to not do anything for Himself, but to glorify His Father and to render a satisfaction to God on the behalf of those given to Him. And He is called the Lamb of God because as the Lamb of God, He was to be slain. He was to be made an offering. He was to be made a sacrifice. He is to be put as a lamb in the place of His people. As a sin offering, as a sacrifice. As one who would bear their sins in His own body on the tree. And in that death that He died on the cross. And in 6 hours, He endured the wrath of God due us. And in 6 hours, He endured separation from God that was able to satisfy God's holiness and justice. That God, with this, He endured the hell itself in 6 hours, separated from God for a multitude that no man could number.
Sir.
And then He rendered satisfaction to God that there's nothing we can say or do could ever add anything to what He did. He did it all. All to Him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I'll tell you this without a shadow of a doubt. God never ever looked to one of those for whom Christ died. For whom was given to Christ for anything at all. He only looked to Christ for. If you've been able to repent, Christ grants you repentance. Are you able to believe? Christ gave you the gift of faith. Are you able to come to God? You come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you able to call on God? You call on Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel the guilt gone from your conscience? It was His blood that cleansed your conscience from dead works. Huh? Oh my. So we're going to give Him all the glory. We're not going to take none to ourselves in any way. And if you add anything to grace, it's of works. And if it's not of works, then it's of grace. Or otherwise, they're one ain't the other. And oh, let me show you. Look over Philemon, that little one little book. It's right before the book of Hebrews. One little chapter. Look here. You see, to believe some facts, to believe some doctrine in your hands, That's not what I'm talking about. Not what I'm talking about. You know, Calvinism's logical. But the grace of God, that's something that has to be revealed. Here in Philemon verse 6, it says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Now how are we going to make our faith, the faith that we have in our hearts, the faith that we preach, the faith that we teach, the faith that we believe, the faith that's real and true to us, how may they become effectual? Here's how it is. This is how God blesses it and uses it to become effectual to other people. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By acknowledging that everything in me, everything I know, everything I have, Christ. Every good thing in me is because of Christ. In my flesh dwells no good thing, but every good thing in me is because of Him. And that's how. That's why God blesses the message of the gospel of Christ. Because we acknowledge that every good thing comes from Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. And all, beloved, we're not continuing in the grace of God when we just believe some facts and some doctrine in our heads. And all, lots and lots and lots and lots of people do that. Oh, my. And not to attend the means of grace. And when I talk about attending a ministry, I'm not just talking about any ministry. I'm talking about a ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. That's what I'm talking about. A ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. Somebody telling you about the grace of God. And then last, let me tell you this. What is it then to continue in the grace of God? What is it? Persuading you to continue in the grace of God. If I'm persuading you here today and persuading myself to continue in the grace of God, what is it that I tell myself and tell you? Well, it's to place your soul in the able, willing hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and be glad you did. Be glad you did. And to know why you did. You know why you did it? In the day of His power, His people are made with Him. We love Him. We do love Him. But why do we love Him? Because He loved us first. We understood why we came. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and calls us to approach unto Thee. Oh my. To find Him in Him all you need for time and eternity. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that that I committed unto Him against that day. I'm going to read you a verse. You don't have to turn to it. Just let me read it to you. In Jude verse 24 it says this, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Oh my. Lord Jesus, I'm in Your hands. Do with me as seemeth good in Your sight. I'm so glad that's where I'm at. I'm so glad that my salvation is not dependent upon me, and I'm so glad Your salvation is not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon Him. Ain't you glad of that? I'm glad it's not dependent upon a creed or a confession of faith. It's dependent upon Christ. Ain't you glad of that? You know, you may get Alzheimer's. And you know, our memories is just getting awful bad. We'll be talking to somebody we've known all our lives, and their mind, their name just slip our mind just like that. We'll stand there and talk to them, say, I know their name. And if we're that bad this young, you may end up losing your mind. Then how much do you know going to help you? Christ. If you know Him, things will be well. If you don't know Him, nothing's going to be right. And it's to find yourself. What is it to continue in the grace of God? It's to find yourself a sinner and a saint. It's to find yourself an absolute contradiction to yourself. Ain't that right? You're a contradiction to yourself. You're a paradox to yourself. And yet you keep on pressing on. You keep on keeping on. You're empty, and yet you're full. You're naked, and yet you're clothed. You're ignorant, and yet you know all things. As dying daily, yet living, and living more abundantly. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. As rejoicing and mourning at the same time. As hungering and thirsting, and also being full. Now, how in the world can that be? But it's true. It's true. You look at yourself and you see nothing but sin. And then you look at yourself in Christ and you see nothing but holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
If you only looked at yourself, you'd despair. But look outside yourself and you look to Christ and you have all the confidence and assurance in the world. Ain't that right? And all, what is it to continue in the grace of God? Is to have a hope. To have a hope that only God Himself can produce. And that based on His holy word. This saith the Lord. Not what I feel. What I feel right now is not much. And part of what you feel ain't much. If you went by your feelings this morning, what you're standing with God wouldn't be much, would it? But it's not my feelings. It's not how many verses of scriptures I've got in my head. Huh? But it's on what God said. Abraham promised. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And God made promise to Abraham, made promise to Christ's seed, and made promise to Christ. And He made promise to us. And what God said, He cannot lie and He cannot change. He's immutable. You and I are mutable. We change, oh, we change just like that. But God cannot change. And our faith is up and down and in and out, and our emotions are all over the map. But God's constant. God never changes. His word never changes. His promise never changes. And He's so faithful to His word, faithful to His promises. And that's to have a hope that God produces in you based on what He said. And our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in the Holy Ghost and in power and in much assurance. This is it. This is the gospel. And it's been taught to you and revealed to your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have a good hope through grace given to you by God Himself. That's what it is to continue in the grace of God. It's to stand on what God said, not what we feel, not what we think, not our opinions, but on what thus saith the Lord. Well, who is it that continues in the grace of God? Who continues in the grace of God? Well, if you and I do continue in the grace of God, continue in the blessed doctrine of God's grace, in the blessed truth of salvation altogether, of the grace of God altogether, of the Lord altogether, of the person and work, the doing, the dying, the absolute perfection that we have in Christ, in His righteousness and blood alone. If I do continue in the grace of God, it will be by the grace of God, and it will be because of the grace of God. Ain't that right? All this of grace. In fact, over here in Acts 13:48, it says this, that our belief is of the grace of God. We believe because of the grace of God. Uh-huh. It says here in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, when Paul said we're going to turn to the Gentiles and start preaching to them, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. God's word. This is what God said. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Our belief of the gospel is by the grace of God. And oh my, if we continue in the grace of God, in the blessed truth of God's grace, the blessed doctrine of God's grace, it depends upon the Spirit of grace. I tell you this much, I know without a shadow of a doubt, our Lord said, without me you can do nothing. I know we never get strong enough. We'll never get wise enough. We'll never know enough Scripture. We'll never grow enough to ever take a step without the grace of God. To ever stand without the grace of God. Everything we're going to ever have. And when we enter into glory, the first step of our salvation, God took us by grace and moved our foot. And the last step we'll take, God will take us by grace and set it down inside of glory.
Amen. Lord.
And every step from here to there will be because the Lord. Dear the Lord. There'll not be one person in glory saying, I. You know what they'll be saying? Worthy is the Lamb. Not unto us, Lord, unto Thee. Unto Thee. Now, beloved, He's not persuading them to continue in church membership. He's not persuading them to just continue to be religious. He's not persuading them to pay their tithes. He's not persuading them to continue reading their Bibles or praying. He's persuading them to continue in the blessed grace of God, the doctrine of grace, the word of grace, the truth of grace. Salvations of the Lord. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. Salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in. God done this. Our Father, our gracious God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for the gospel. Lord, take the word that's been said today and cause it to be fruitful. Cause it to be effectual. Oh Lord, we do so need Your grace to stand. To stand. To walk. Teach us what it is to talk grace, to believe grace, to act according to grace. And honor You in doing these things. That all things are of the Lord. All things are. God bless this word. Meet the needs of these hearts. Save Your people. Save Your people in this place. You have sheep. And I pray You, by Your blessed grace and Your wondrous mercy in Christ, would call You sheep through this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.